Welcome, 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 welcome to the second episode of Don't Be Broke, Be Woke. I'm your host, Adrian Solomon. I'm glad you guys are joining us on the second episode today. I hope you enjoyed the first episode. I know there was a lot going on there, but I thought it was important for my audience to understand kind of why I'm doing this, and I think why it's important for all of us to hear some of the various facets of what's needed to be more woke in this society, at least financially anyways. So for episode 2, I wanted to focus on something more specific. And as I highlighted at the end of episode 1, it's really focusing on, you know, goals. And so, you know, hopefully you guys have had some time to think about what your goals are, what your goals were, or what your goal is, depending on, you know, if it's plural or not. And so I wanted to kind of use this episode to break it down into 2 specific goals. One is the goal of being debt-free. I think that is a goal that a majority of Americans have, either young or old. Either it be student loans, credit cards, mortgage, cars, family members, you name it. Being debt-free is definitely a goal of most people. And the second part of the episode will be more focus on a second goal of mine, which is retirement. And I also assume this is a goal of most Americans or most people, is that you don't want to work till you're 80. You may not even want to work till you're 60. And so how do you get there? How do you achieve that goal? And so that's really how we want to focus on this episode and get to this part. So with that said, let's just go ahead and dive in. All right. So part of the reason why I wanted to use the goal of being debt-free as one part of this episode is that we can't continue to talk about the stuff that we're going to talk on for the rest of this podcast if we don't address the elephant in the room. And that elephant is debt. And what is debt? Debt is pretty much anything that you actually do not own. Okay. So if it is something that you are making any kind of payments or repaying or whatnot over a certain period of time, it is considered debt, right? So usually though, there are good debt, and I'm doing this in quotation mark, and there are bad debt. The perfect example of a good debt is your mortgage, right? It is a debt that you have. It is also a really good asset. It's an investment at the same time. So when people look at debt, it is probably the most, I don't want to say less important debt, but it's the debt that people are less concerned with paying. It's a bad way for me to use that. But what I mean by paying, meaning it's not like a credit card where, oh my God, that's weighing down on you, or a potential loan that you got, or student loans. Your house debt is a mortgage that you'd have to pay either you're renting or not. Right. So that's what I meant by good debt. And then the bad debt, which is all the other stuff that you're paying, which in reality you could do without, but you have it because of some, you know, situation or another. So let's kind of, you know, break that down even further. Right. So I mentioned on my previous episode how I wanted to be debt free within 24 months, which I then kind of accelerated to be 18 months because of COVID. And part of the reason why I wanted to do that was I realized I wanted to retire a specific age. And in order for me to do that, I needed to save more than what I had anticipated. But in order to do that, I need to have more money to save. Well, in order to do that, I needed to have less bills to pay. And so I had to figure out how to do that. And so I basically created a budget. And guys, let me tell you, I hated budgets. Matter of fact, I probably still do hate it, but that is a lifesaver. And what I mean by creating a budget, it's not just creating a budget on stuff that you have to pay. Those are almost does, right? Those are almost does. Like you put everything in a spreadsheet someplace, or you have them on an app and you know what you have to pay. You make sure you pay them. Great. But what I'm speaking of is an entire budget that really dives into not only the stuff that you have to pay, but where else are you spending your money? Every single time that you spend your money, that you buy something that is not part of your budget, it would be in there. So that way you can see input, output, how much is coming in, how much is going out. Sure, you know how much is going out based on the bills that you have to pay. But what about all the other things, right? Let's say you probably budgeted for $55 a week on food. Let's just keep it even at $250 a month on eating out. So you're just coming up with a raw number. But how did you come up with that number? Did you actually budget that? In other words, did you actually start looking at how you're actually spending your money eating out? Or did you just come up with that number to say that that's how much you can afford, right? Important piece. You can never get rid of your debt if you don't put all your stuff out there. You just can't. And so we had to create a budget. My wife and I created a budget. We sat down and look, there's so many different ways you could do this. I actually went the old fashioned way. I went on Microsoft Office. I put in Excel. There are different templates that exist in Excel with budget formats. And I just took one and I used the one that I liked the most and I went in. I basically put all my budget, categorized them based on like credit cards, my utilities, my loans, my car payments, my subscriptions such as Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, Apple Music, you name it. And dude, do those things add up? I mean, they add up. It's really the small things that really add up more than the bigger ones. Because in our mind, spending 5, 10, 15 here and there is not as much, right? When we're breaking it down in our minds, it's a lot easier for us to make those small purchases. But when you start adding them up very quickly, they can end up being $100 a month, just $1,200 a year that you've basically spent on something like, you know, Apple Music. And I don't know if people know this, but Apple Music has, you know, Apple Family, where you can actually add people to your thing, or you can be added to someone. So that person can have up to 5 people under Apple Music. And so that person is paying and you're not paying. Maybe you're paying that person $4 a month, right? But that's a way for you to save. I'm saying all this, like I have 4 or 5 people under mine, so I'm paying, but just something to keep in mind. So the budget obviously is a huge piece of that. And once you have everything on the budget, then you need to start understanding what do you need to start paying off, right? There are different methods on how paying debt. There's the avalanche snowball effect, which is basically figuring out which debt you want to attack first, right? Look, you can either do 2 things. You can either start paying off your cards or stuff that have the highest interest rate first, or you can start by paying the things that are actually the smallest balance first, which then creates somewhat of a psychological effect on you, a positive psychological effect, because you're basically doing smaller victories. And in my case, that's what I went with. I went with paying off the $250 here, the $400 here, the $700 here, the $350 there, because one, they were more attainable and I could already eliminate the balance in the card from being on my sheet, right? So making a budget, seeing what your debt is, knowing how much of a debt you actually have, and how and when you can pay it off is very important to get to a point where you're getting to financial independence. So I had my budget broken down in 2. The first one was our family monthly budget, right? Which was basically kind of what I mentioned before, input, output, expenses, income. And so at the end of the month, or at the end for every pay period or every month, I would have how much is coming in and how much I have to pay. Before I go into the second part of the budget, one thing I want to make clear, you have to, and this is almost like a sin, part of your budget should be money that you're paying to yourself. And we'll get into this in another episode, but one of the first things you need to do when you're creating your budget, as part of your expense, is savings, okay? Savings. Like, that needs to be on there. It cannot be something that you're basically leaving on for after everything is done. So in your budget, you need to both have savings or investments, or both. You may not be ready for the investment part, especially if you're having to build an emergency fund, but you need to make sure that part of your budget, you have savings, because that is a way for you to pay yourself first, and it needs to be automatic. Automatic. You cannot create a budget and eventually get to a point where you're financially independent if you don't actually start saving, right? So I wanted to get that out of the way. The second part of the budget that I did was create kind of a credit balances. So the first part was obviously all my bills and, you know, when they were due, blah, 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 blah. The second part on that same Excel sheet was creating a second sheet where I put all my cards, every card that I have, or every loan. And I basically put what the balances were, right? And I basically totaled them up and I gave you my total, like my total debt based on what I owed from quote unquote bad debt, right? Not my mortgage. And then I had the balances, obviously the due dates. And so one of the things that I did was I sorted it out from highest to smallest, because in my case, again, I wanted to pay off the things that were smallest first. And so as I paid off one thing, I would color code it a specific color so I knew I was done, and I would continue to go down the list, continue to go down the list. One of the things you'll realize, and this is obviously something for a different episode as well, but as you're making these payments on your card and sometimes your balances, your credit score is also going to increase. As you're making payments and reducing your credit utilization, your credit score is going to increase. In some cases, by 5-10 points. Depending on balances that you're paying off, it could go up 20-30 points. It really all depends. And we'll have an episode to talk about like credit score hacking and how to get your credit score a little bit higher. But this is another advantage of taking care of your debt, is to making sure that when you create your budget, it's not just input output, you know all your bills and you know when you're going to pay them, but it's also how much are you spending a month? Like, how much have you actually spent a month on food? Once you've actually determined that, now you can create the budget to say, okay, clearly I need to cut that from 300 to 250, right? Like, depending on your situation, and then you can keep cutting that out. But you can never really create a budget to a point where you're financially independent if you don't know what you're spending your money on. That's like a duh. And then the second part is knowing and understanding all the debt that you owe, not just their monthly, you know, balances, but their total balances, so that you know how to attack what you want to pay, when you want to pay it, and why you want to pay it, or at least why you want to pay those first. So that was my goal. And so every month, as I paid off some things on my actual budget, I would keep that bill or that debt there, but on the following month, it would just be zero. So that way I could see month over month how my actual cash extra that I had, how much that continued to grow, right? Because if I started in January and after I've paid everything else, I was left with $2,000 for the month. And as I've paid off things month by month by month, then as I got to July, my cash extra that I had per month went from $2,000 when I started in January. And as it continued to grow, now some months it potentially went down as I paid, I may have paid like a bigger bill to just clear that out. But eventually by July, then my cash extra was $7,000 because I was paying less towards bills, right? Now towards that time, I actually was putting more money towards savings and investing. So in essence, my cash extra was actually more, but I was paying myself more up front. So what was left for me at the end was more than what was there from month one. But I, at the same time, as I'm paying things off, that extra money, I would divide that up between paying another bill, saving it, and investing. Because that was key to me to make sure that I always put money aside for these other two things, in addition to paying off the loans or cards or whichever way you want to call them. That is kind of goal number one into clearing off your debt, is to put everything down on paper, know what you have, know when you can pay them, start paying them, do not delay. And the more you start paying them, the more you get into a role, and you get into a role and you see your credit score go up and you have more money, and then now you can actually pay more things. It really is psychologically a burden that's lifted off your shoulders as you start paying things off. So I think any young person, old person, middle-aged person, whatever, if you want to get to a point where you're financially independent, you need to be debt-free. You need to be debt-free. So that really is goal number one, or at least one of the goals, which is really making sure that we're debt-free. Goal number two is retirement. And again, young, middle-aged, old, doesn't really matter. You want to get to a point where you're no longer working. Now, what I don't want to do in this episode is talk about when you want to retire, because we'll have another episode about that as well. But I want to talk about when you retire, what you need to retire, and how you can make that happen, how you can achieve that goal. As far as the age, that really all depends on you. If you want to retire early, meaning 40, then you really need to start some of these things a lot sooner. And you'll have to live a really minimalist lifestyle. I don't really mean that where you don't even buy clothes or whatever, but you're going to have to make some drastic changes to do that. If you decide that's not your way and you want to retire at 50, great, you can do that. Depending on the age that you decide to make that decision, you might also have to make some drastic decisions. Like in my case, I thought about retiring at 50, but as I mentioned on the last episode, I wasn't ready. I am more ready than I was when I thought about it, but I'm still not there. Now, my goal still set at 50, right? With the understanding that it's okay if I don't reach it, but I thought about 50 because it would allow me to actually be more aggressive on things today. So that's why I don't want to spend time on like, what age do you really want to retire? It's really more the vehicle on how you can get to retirement properly. So this part of the episode will be very straightforward in the sense that the earlier you can start saving and investing, the better you are. Okay. And I know that sounds like a duh also. A lot of the things I'm talking about are duhs. But in reality, we don't know these things. We don't talk about these things. Let's look at the eighth wonder of the world, as Albert Einstein once mentioned it, which is compound interest. Why is compound interest not discussed when you're in high school? Like, to me, compound interest should be more important than discussing biology or, you know, physics. Not saying that you don't talk about those things, but to me, having a discussion about what compound interest can do to a young person who can then see themselves retiring later because of compound interest is a crucial conversation that I know we're not having, and it's crippling our youth, and it's crippling us, like someone like me that didn't realize how compound interest actually worked until I was in my late 30s. And so let's really just break it down. If you are 21 and you make an initial deposit of $500 into an investing account. And I say investing, not saving, and I'll talk about that in a few. That investing account generates a 5% return. And just for the simple math, I'm going to use $100 here. And for the first year, right? For the first year, a 5% return, you're going to get, right? $5. You with me? Got it. So you just got $5 on your $100 deposit. On year second, right? Let's just say you don't make another deposit, right? You get another 5% return, right? So now the 5% return is going to be 5% on your $105 that you earned the year prior, right? So now you got $5.25 earned on year two. So now you have $110.25, right? So on year three, when you do the same math, you'll have $110.25. And you do the math, now you have $5.50 or 51 cents that you just earned on $110, right? So now you keep adding it. if you do this for 20 years, you see how quickly this can add. Now, I just use a very basic number of $100. And I also didn't use any automatic investing or anything like that, which is to show you how your money can grow exponentially over time. Now, the example I just gave doesn't really give you anything for the first 4 or 5 years, right? Like, it's a very slow curve. But the more you actually get in that account, the more you earn on top of what you've earned, on top of what you've earned, that money grows. And the more it grows, the more you're earning on top of what you grew, right? The beauty of compound interest. That is something that the sooner you start, the better it is. When you have the element of time, compound interest, I mean, it's a beauty to see. It's a joy to watch. It is one of these things that I just don't understand why people don't talk more about it. Now, compound interest works if you're 20, if you're 30, if you're 40, if you're 50. Doesn't really matter. But clearly, if you start at 20 and you want to retire at 50, and you have 30 years of that compound interest working for you where you've made an initial deposit, you're making either monthly or yearly deposits, that account is bringing in anywhere between 5 to 7% return a year on average. So you can only imagine what that'll do for you when you're ready to retire. And if you guys don't believe me, you can always go online, Google compound interest calculator, and it will basically walk you through some of the numbers that you can put in there. And it will tell you how much you have within the date that you've basically mentioned that you want to retire. It is, to me, like, you know, I'm talking to my daughter about it, I'm talking to my friends about it. It is the best thing in the world. And the reason why with retirement, it is so important is that when you put your money away for retirement, it is never money you intend to touch. And when you have that money in for retirement, that money earns interest, that it's because of return. And that money also earns dividends, which is when companies pay out money to their investors for owning shares. And so when you actually have that money for 25, 30 years, you have that money reinvested into your portfolio, both the dividends and the interest, hence the compound interest. And so you're earning money on top of your money, 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 right? So it is not difficult to actually have real proper income at retirement if you start early. Now, I know they talk about you need to retire early, you need to start saving, blah, 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 but they don't tell you how. No one really tells you how to set it up. A savings account is not it. It is not it. And I believe that is going to be part of my next episodes, is that a savings account is just not enough. That is not the way you're going to achieve financial independence in retire. It is not it. Okay. The way you achieve financial independence and to get to a point where you can retire and retire comfortably is having more than that and having your money work for you. And so my goal, which was to retire at 50, was how do I do that? Well, it goes back to goal number one. Goal number one is I needed to be debt-free within 24 months, right? So that really, really makes me give me 8 years, right? But no, not really, because what I'm doing during these 24, or as I say, 18 months, is I'm paying off debt, but I'm also saving and investing. And as I pay off debt, I'm investing more, and I'm aggressively investing because I want my money to grow more for me. I want it to grow better for me, right? If I was 70, maybe my portfolio is a little bit more moderate or conservative, but right, I, the individual, need my money to grow at an exponential rate. So I need to actually get my money to go be more aggressive. And honestly, that is the reality for most of you listening to this podcast, is that you would want your money to grow exponentially at very aggressive rates based on the portfolio that you have your money in. And that is going to be the subject of episode 3, which is saving in itself is just not enough. How do you get your money to grow for you over time? And this is when it gets fun. Not that what we've been talking about is not fun. What we've been talking about is building the groundworks to get you to a point where it's fun, because you have to get all the bad stuff like debt and budget and paying off debt out of the way. But you can do that, but also invest. And how do we do that? Can we invest in your savings account? Not really. Can your money grow in your savings account? Sure. But I don't know if you notice, but the interest rate is zero, which means what savings account you're going to get that's going to give you any beneficial yield, any high yields? Well, almost none. I've had three separate savings account companies change their yields within the past 3 or 4 months to lower yields because the number is so low. So episode 3 is going to focus on why savings is not enough. Investing builds wealth. And so I'm excited to bring that episode. It's probably going to be my best episode, my favorite episode that I do. It might be more than 30 minutes because we're really going to dive in into kind of the saving, investing aspect and how we get there. So again, guys, thank you for listening to episode 2, which is really, what is your goal and how can you get there? And I'm assuming for the majority of you, your goals will fall into one or two buckets. And so if not, doesn't really matter. The way you go about it really is still the same. It's just basically putting everything out. And if you're saving either for retirement or to buy a house or to buy a car, you need to understand, what is your current debt? How much do you actually have extra every month? How much can you save? And so it's either you're doing retirement or not. These techniques will help you get to a point where you can save to get you to the goal that you really need to get. Emergency funds, etc. So again, I want to thank you guys for taking the time to listen to the second episode of Don't Be Broke, Be Woke.